This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, June 14th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. It's good to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Now, today, America is celebrating Flag Day on this June 14th to honor the 1777 date when the Second Continental Congress adopted America's familiar stars and stripes as the national flag. Flag Day is embraced every year in a handful of proudly red, white, and blue all-American communities, with the patriotic pomp normally reserved for the 4th of July on Independence Day. Let's remember the meaning of our flag today and remember that we are still one nation under God. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, and as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. On Tuesdays, I always remind you that we should pray to our guardian angel. Even though you can't see your guardian angel, they are present with you. We should ask our guardian angel for help in our everyday life. And also remember that here in this month of June, we are honoring the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
Well, hey, John. First off, a happy Flag Day to you as well. Always remember this day, my late mother's birthday. Back in 1923, always, remember that on Flag Day. But lots of heat today, my goodness. Lots of severe weather through the Chicagoland area last night as well. But temps pushing near 100 across large parts of the midsection of the U.S. today. You know, you can find some pictures online. Guy grilling hamburgers in his car, right on a pan on the dashboard in Arizona the other day, and checking the temperature of the meat, and got up to 160 and everything, and not necessarily recommended, but a little bit of note of summertime is suddenly here in a big way, John.
Well, Glenn, we're expecting 99 degrees here in the Chicago area today, so could be a record.
Yep, going to be warm, but we deal with that every year now, don't we? Elsewhere, things, of course, still hot in eastern Ukraine, especially with Russia pressing on. Pope Francis had an interview with Jesuit media last month. It was published this week, the interview. He was talking about how brutal Russia's troops were, but one of the lines in the interview that's being pulled out to focus on a little bit is a line saying the war was perhaps somehow either provoked or not prevented, and that it wasn't quite black and white, although he thought the Ukraine forces were heroic in what they were doing.
Well, obviously, that line is catching the attention of the media, and it's for many to interpret on this morning. But nevertheless, we continue to pray for an end to this war, and we continue to unite ourselves to the consecration of the Holy Father a while back of Russia and Ukraine. So we have to continue to have a spiritual perspective about this this conflict.
Yeah, still no end in sight as Russia continues to push forward, mainly in the eastern part of Ukraine. But occasionally we'll fling missiles across the country, and so no one incredibly safe in any particular part of Ukraine in a war situation.
Meanwhile,
and the war in the NBA on the court, John, continues. Last night, some action out by the Bay.
Yes, indeed. Game 5 of the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors beat the Boston Celtics 104-94. Andrew Wiggins led the way for the Warriors with 26 points, as heard on ESPN.
Wiggins against White. That's a difficult turnover. Wiggins makes it look easy. Wiggins fakes the pass, drives inside. The runner, well defended. Wiggins' second attempt misses. Kicked out to Green. Right back to Wiggins for the layup. Curry, shuffle pass, Payton the layup is good.
Looney looking. Thompson fires away three. Got it. Looney. Curry back to Wiggins. Wiggins goes inside. Layup is good. Curry looking. Now drives. Wiggins across the lane. Floats it up and in. Wiggins drives and finishes. Exclamation point from Andrew Wiggins.
Man, he makes that name Wiggins sound real good, doesn't he? With all those great points last night, he was kicking butt. I mean, I don't know. The name Wiggins doesn't sound very impressive, but his game, he's got game.
He definitely has game. And, you know, when Stephon Curry is being guarded the way that he was, then other guys have to step up. And that's exactly what he did. And I know, Glenn, you saw a good chunk of that game.
Yeah, good game on both ends of the floor for Wiggins. 26 points, 13 rebounds there. It is as a Minnesota fan, our teams never make it to the finals, but we get to cheer individual players. Wiggins, a Timberwolf for many years before heading out to Golden State, and only one win away now from an NBA championship. He did a great job last night. So it's on to Game 6 Thursday in Boston, and Celtics will they're a tough team. They'll try to stay alive.
That will be quite exciting. Anytime you're one win away, it's a big deal, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. Today is Flag Day, as I mentioned at the beginning. The question is, do you guys have your flags up?
Well,
John,
I used to have mine up, but the ferocious winds of Chicagoland area knocked mine over. I need a new post to get that back up. But yeah, John, I heard you're a big fan of the flag.
Yes, I am quite patriotic. I have my flag up 365 every day of the year. And in fact, I probably need a new flag because when it's up all year round, it gets a little bit weathered. So I'm probably due for a new one. But it is proudly flying today on Flag Day. Glenn, what about you?
I don't have one. I can see three from my house, and there's a really big one out the back there, 1 yard over, and I really appreciate that to, you know, not only be inspired, but check the wind speed and direction as well. It's very handy. That's not the reason we wave them today, and like I said, always remembered Flag Day. It was my mom's birthday, so she always had a good time noting that her birthday was Flag Day.
It's kind of nice for your mom's birthday. All the decorations are up, all the flags all around America, right?
There we go. Red, white, and blue cupcakes. I don't know that we ever had them, but nowadays that's what she'd have, right, if she was a little kid. Yeah.
There you go. Today we're all proud Americans. Thanks a lot. We begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life this morning is from Matthew 5:44. Jesus the Lord says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Our Lord Jesus Christ has some very challenging words for us, and you could say that this is a litmus test on what it means to be a true Christian. Even though our enemies may persecute us, we are called to imitate Jesus by forgiving them and praying for them. Just take a moment and think of someone who has hurt you the most. Beg God for that extraordinary grace required to love these people and to forgive them from the heart. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, the January 6th committee hearing started this past Thursday, as you know, in prime time and continued yesterday morning. The bipartisan committee has been investigating the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol for nearly a year. The committee is made up of 7 Democrats and 2 Republicans. In fact, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN gave a particularly enthusiastic reaction to Thursday's primetime hearing of the January 6th committee, touting the TV ratings a big deal.
20 million viewers is in the ballpark with big television events like Sunday Night Football.
Powerful testimony at the primetime hearing as the January 6th committee makes its case.
Never before seen video and testimony from Trump's inner circle, including his daughter Ivanka.
Shocking new evidence and harrowing testimony from the committee investigating the January 6th attack.
These people tried to have your vice president killed. Maybe something like that will slap them into, wow, is that true? Mm-hmm. Let's hear more about that. And I don't object to the theatricality of it. It's really, you've got to keep people's attention.
Stephanie, nearly 20 million people watched the committee's primetime hearing last Thursday. Can Democrats play that to their advantage heading into the midterms? And any chance this backfires?
Okay, I think if you get more people to watch a congressional hearing than the final four, that has to be measured as success for the committee. That is a big deal.
And that is just a sample of what the mainstream media is saying about these hearings. The question is, what has been the response of Americans, the American people, to these hearings on both sides of the aisle? Now joining us live from Washington, D.C. for the latest on the January 6th hearings and an update on the immigration crisis from a Catholic perspective is attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso is a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN in Espanol, and he's published opinion columns in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, and of course is a regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Alfonso. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Doing well on this Flag Day.
Yes, it's a great day that we should honor and celebrate. You know, patriotism is important. Celebrating our homeland is something natural to every community, and we should be proud of it, and the flag is a symbol of it. So it's an important day that we should always honor and celebrate.
Well, Alfonso, first of all, what is your reaction to the way that the mainstream media, except for Fox News, gushed over the January 6th hearings, this made-for-TV event that continued on yesterday morning?
Well, it's a political spectacle that we've never seen in Congress. We've never seen anything like this. And this is not a probe. This is not an investigation. This is a communication ploy, a messaging ploy, to basically try to destroy Donald Trump and so he can run for president in 2 years. That's what this is all about. Nothing else, nothing more. We've seen it's a hearings produced by a former ABC producer with members of Congress reading from teleprompters. The testimonies that are shown are edited, so you're not seeing the full testimony. It's incredible. The fact that last week they started with the hearings prime time, that's just so obvious. And, you know, I was hearing some of the comment, you know, with the large audience that it got. Well, throughout the different networks, it wasn't one network. Normally you have the Super Bowl in one network, right? No, they were showing it throughout different networks because it was prime time. So people had to watch it. And even when they watched it, I don't think they were very interested. There's nothing new here. I mean, somebody was saying shocking new evidence. There's nothing shocking here. It's the same thing they've been talking about for 2 years. We've had an impeachment about this. We've already have a federal investigation from the Justice Department that has arrested hundreds of people, that has indicted over 80 people. You know, there's nothing new here that's going to somehow criminally involve President Trump. And so far, the only thing they said is that people close to the president were telling him that there was no fraud. And then he insisted that there was fraud and publicly argued that, in fact, there was fraud. So that doesn't mean that he incited the mayhem that happened in January 6th. It doesn't mean that he coordinated with anyone so that this would happen. He had that belief. He manifested it publicly that he's right. That he's right under the Constitution, but it doesn't prove absolutely anything. And then we've learned this past week that President Trump had authorized the use of the National Guard, and it was Nancy Pelosi who decided not to use it, knowing that something was going to happen. So
that's exactly one of the biggest questions right there. Why didn't the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, basically follow the president's authorization and send in all that National Guard? We wouldn't even be having this conversation if she did.
Absolutely. And then if it was coordinated, and it had been coordinated for weeks or months, as they argued, then the President Trump could have not incited it in his speech on January 6th, as they argue. So it's a bunch of contradictions. It's just a show, and you know it's all about 2024, and you know they're hoping that it's going to have some political impact. I just don't think it's going to at all, because President Biden is underwater. And people are very frustrated with what's happening. He's not accepting responsibility for inflation, for gas prices. And that's really what's going to drive this election in just a few months ago. And frankly, it's pretty clear Republicans are going to win back the House. And there's a great possibility that they will win the Senate as well.
Alfonso, the question about Nancy Pelosi and why she didn't send in the National Guard is one of numerous questions. One other question that I've heard also asked is why did the police actually invite people in, open up the doors and let people into the Capitol? That's a question that has not been talked about yet, let alone answered.
Well, absolutely. That's a basic question, and we saw images of that happening, right? We even saw a Capitol Police officer giving a tour to the guy with the horns on the Senate floor. So, certain questions you're not allowed to ask. Were there any federal officials in the crowd? Were there any leftist activists in the crowd? I know at least one videographer who's a leftist activist who was there filming. So a lot of questions. This is not objective. Look, they say it's bipartisan, but it's truly not. For the first time in history, the Speaker of the House hasn't allowed the representatives of the minority, selected by the minority leader, to sit in a panel. That's unprecedented. That has never happened. The two Republicans in that committee were selected by Nancy Pelosi, and there are two individuals, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, who publicly have already said that Donald Trump is responsible for what happened. So this is totally biased. There's no possibility for the minority to counter with other evidence or to question the narrative from the majority. This is just inquisitorial completely. This is after Donald Trump, and there is no way for him to defend himself. And again, it's just very weird that you see this video testimony, but it's edited. You don't see the full testimony. You see bits and pieces. So it's incredible. And by the way, it's also ironic because just the day before they started the hearings last week, there was an attempt on Justice Kavanaugh's life. And, that is political violence. The guy who went to his house was angry at the potential of the reversal of Roe versus Wade. And he went out there to try to kill Justice Kavanaugh. And Democrats basically haven't said anything about that.
In fact, the president of the United States, President Biden, has yet to say a word after this horrific attempted murder of Justice Kavanaugh. It's unbelievable. You'd think that there'd be some attention to that, but all the focus is on this January 6th hearing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I believe in criticizing political violence wherever it comes from, the left and the right, but they do it selectively. So it seems to be a double standard. So when something like this happens from the right, then, of course, we should only focus it on it. It's an attempt on democracy. But when we see somebody, a leftist activist, thinking of and trying to assassinate a sitting justice of the Supreme Court. Nobody says anything. And also the question of, you know, did Democrats incite this individual to do something like this? You know, so a lot of people have pointed to Senator Schumer and the speech he gave 2 years ago, encouraging activists to confront or encouraging activists to engage in political confrontation. I mean, you know, there's a double standard, clearly.
No question about it. In fact, one political analyst, Britt Hume on Fox News, called the January 6th hearing a television press release with sound bites because there was no cross-examination of the witnesses by members of both parties. What's your take on his perspective?
No, that's exactly what it is. And what I said, it's just no cross-examination. You can't counter what the lead attorney is the evidence that they're presenting. You know, they just present it and nobody challenges it. Nobody challenges the video testimony that is edited. Nobody says anything because there's nobody to represent the president of the United States. This is, and then obviously they do it publicly, and that's a good way of putting it. It's a video press release. This is a political stunt like the likes we've never seen before, and it's just an exercise in messaging. And, you know, it's months before the election, and the report's going to be issued, you know, right before the election. So clearly, this is all for politics. But, you know, I think the American people can see through this, right? And they see through this, and they care about other issues. And again, President Biden is in really, really bad shape. And, you know, this hearing is certainly not going to change that.
I want to invite our listeners, if you have a question or comment on this, on these hearings, these January 6th hearings, if you agree that it's a political stunt, and also we're going to talk about immigration after we take a short break with Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. We are taking your calls at 888-914-9149 if you want to be part of our conversation. As we take a short time out, we will continue with Alfonso right after this.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales as we continue our conversation with Morning Air contributor Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. We've been talking about the January 6th hearings. I want to shift gears, Alfonso, and talk a little bit about the immigration crisis. We've been seeing a massive number of migrants crossing over, more than 234,000. In April alone, and that number is expected to rise during the summer. Can you give us an update on what is going on at the southern border with this immigration crisis that's been going on for some time?
Yeah, this is really terrible, and sadly, the status quo remains. This administration is not doing anything to change what's happening. You mentioned the April numbers, over 234,000 migrant arrivals. That was higher than March. I suspect that May is going to be higher. This is already a 22-year high. It may be the highest number ever, frankly. This administration is not doing anything. And I've reached the conclusion that for them, it's really not a crisis. This is what they want. They want people to arrive irregularly to the border, ask for asylum, process them quickly, and then let them in the country. It's a cynical ploy to, I think they think that they're going to change the country that way and that these people eventually, they become citizens, are going to politically support them, which is absurd. I mean, we're seeing with Hispanic voters that they're turning on Democrats, so good luck with that. But, you know, besides the national security issue that these massive flows represent, I keep honing on the fact that this is also a humanitarian crisis, that they are encouraging poor people, mostly good people, to make this dangerous trek to our border, which is so dangerous. People are putting their lives at risk. Over 60% of women and girls are being raped or victims of sexual assault. This facilitates trafficking, child trafficking. The U.S. is the number one consumer of child sex. This is really troubling, and this is what the administration is facilitating. Far from creating a humane and moral system, this has created an inhumane situation, and they're not doing anything to control it. And so sadly, when I see the numbers, it's mind-boggling. It's really mind-boggling. And as I've said, this is not pro-immigrant, because a lot of people say, oh, no, we want to care about immigrants. If you care about immigrants, you don't want them to come here this way. What happens in that terrible journey, I call the trip north from Central America the corridor of terror, because that's what it is. And we should try to dissuade people from making that trip. But this is their goal, to encourage this massive flow of people.
Do you have any sense, Alfonso, what the U.S. Bishops are saying about this humanitarian crisis? Because obviously, there is a moral and a Catholic perspective to what's going on.
Well, I mean, the bishops can say so much. Obviously, they're calling for us to remain a welcoming nation and to deal with the issue of migration. And I think that's fair. I mean, the church is not prescribing any, and this is important, the church doesn't prescribe any policy answer. It proposes us to be welcoming to the migrant. And obviously, we believe in that. I believe in being welcoming to the migrant. I believe in immigration. It's good for the country, but not at the expense, obviously, of our own population. And obviously, I want to make sure that it's regular, that it's secure, for the sake of our country and the sake of those migrants. So, Cardinal Sarahu, I like to reference often what he says about the migration crisis. He has said that mass migration is a new form of slavery. He's called it hell, because it is terrible that, this country's poor countries are losing their human capital. And plus this movements are so dangerous. So he's criticized it. And so, yes, I think the bishops, the ones that I've heard, and I mean, I frankly haven't read an official position from the Conference of Bishops on this topic, but I am sure he's calling us to be welcoming and compassionate. And I do agree with that. But in terms of the specifics of the Biden administration policy, I haven't read a statement from the bishops on it.
Meanwhile, it seems that all the attention is on the January 6 hearings, and nothing is being done about immigration, as we see and as you're pointing out the current situation. Danielle actually has a follow-up question on what we were talking about. Danielle is joining us from Florida. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Alfonso Aguilar.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was just along the lines of the discussion of the January 6th trials, but the alarming question, being a relevant radio listener, is the accusations of this new narrative, the white Christian nationalism threat to democracy. It's pretty unsettling from a Catholic point of view. I was wondering if you had any comment about that.
Alfonso,
well, that's interesting, because it's been pushed by many in the left. There are white supremacist groups in this country, and they operate and they engage in violence. The FBI has singled them out. I just don't think that that is a reality to say that it's a major threat right now, I mean, I would say that we're seeing political violence motivated by race, also from the left as well, that has to be denounced as well. So I believe in criticizing political violence from the left and the right. But the narrative that the left is pushing is that it only comes from the right. It's only, you know, white supremacists. And sometimes they say they're Christians, whatever, which is absurd. This is part and parcel of what the left does, you know, create these narratives that are false and that are being pushed by mainstream media that, the political threat to democracy comes from the right, from violent groups in the right. And frankly, that's really absurd. I am sure there is violence from the right, but you know, it's not an immediate threat to democracy, and there is violence from the left. I mean, we saw it. I mean, January 6th was terrible, and I condemned it. It was a tragedy in the history of our country. But we can't talk about January 6th without talking about what happened the summer of 2020, organized by leftist groups who were promoting racial confrontation. We can't talk about January 6th if we don't talk about what happened just a few days ago here in the nation's capital, where a justice of the Supreme Court was almost assassinated. And that wasn't an activist from the right. It was an activist from the left. So, you know, it is absurd, but this is the polarized country we live in. And I think we have to respond and say it's nonsense.
Thanks so much, Danielle. You know, President Biden has yet to address, after a week, he hasn't talked about the attempted assassination of Justice Kavanaugh, which probably is part of the reason why, according to the latest Morning Consult political survey, it found that 58% of voters disapprove of Biden's job performance and only 39% approve. Alfonso, what's your take on the latest Biden approval ratings that have sunk to a new low?
It's an interesting point you make. I think President Biden doesn't help himself with when he's not transparent. When they make a big fuss of January 6th, but then they don't say anything about what happened to Justice Kavanaugh, it just shows how political they're being, that they're not really, that they have a double standard. Americans don't like that. You know, beside all the policy errors, because this is just incredible on every single area. Is it the border? Is it gas prices? Gas prices hit $5, the national average per gallon. I mean, that is crazy. That is crazy. And then inflation. And then last week he says, well, this is all because of Putin. He says this again, when we know that the high inflation levels where we arrived at those before Putin invaded Ukraine. I mean, what was the inflation number? Is it 8.6 now that was revealed last week as well? This is over 41 year high. It gets worse and worse. Foreign policy. I mean, his numbers started going down after the terrible, chaotic exit from Afghanistan. Crime is going up in Democratic held urban centers, cities. People are tired. Everything that he does, and it's sad because it's our country, he's our president, but everything he does, he does it poorly. I mean, look at the Summit of the Americas. We just had the Summit of the Americas, and it was a total disaster. Some countries decided, some presidents, not even to participate. That would have never happened before a summit in the United States. The United States was ridiculed, and President Biden didn't even respond. I mean, it's just a total joke, and Americans feel that. Ironic, but the sad thing is that he has no ability, apparently, to accept his faults and try to change. And that's going to cost him in the midterms, absolutely.
Well, Alfonso, as always, I appreciate your political perspective and bringing some clarity with some charity to all of these issues that are going on in our country on this Flag Day. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Monsignor Stephen Rossetti will be with us to talk about ordinary life during ordinary times. Stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
I see you in
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday, meaning on this Tuesday morning, I should say. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, is 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, that the liturgical seasons of Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, and Pentecost are behind us, we find ourselves in ordinary time, which on the surface seems, well, so ordinary. But maybe there's more to the ordinary than simply a chance to catch our breath, but rather a chance to ponder in our heart all the wonders that are hidden in the ordinary. Joining us now is a friend of Morning Air, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, to discuss ordinary life during ordinary time. Monsignor Rossetti is a licensed psychologist, an exorcist, and chaplain of the Washington Nationals. Monsignor Rossetti, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Good to be with you once again.
It's great to be back on Relevant Radio, John. Thanks.
Monsignor, how are we supposed to understand ordinary time? Can you give us some perspective about this liturgical season, which I believe is the longest of the year?
Well, it's interesting, you know, the way you talked about it, is that we've been through these sort of high holy days. And then and all of a sudden, we end up in this thing called ordinary time. You know, my mother, God bless her, has gone to the heaven, but she was a convert, and she converted during these high holy days. And so, you know, she had Advent and you know, Lent and Easter and all that. And then she looked at me, she said, Steve, what are we in now? What time are we in now? I said, Mom, we're in ordinary time. She wrinkled her nose and she said, "Ordinary time? Is that the best the church can do?"
So, that's
it was funny. It was funny, and she had a great sense of humor. But it might at the beginning to say, "Well, gee, this is much." But
every time I put on my green golf shirt during the week during this time, I always think of the meaning of ordinary time.
Yeah. Well, we all dragged out our green stoles. All the priests haven't worn them in a while, but you know it's interesting. It's a question of how one perceives holiness. You know, I mean, when you read the books of the great saints, you say, well, being a saint is doing great things. Well, not necessarily. You know, I think that's not what sanctity is necessarily, because many of the saints live very quiet lives, hidden lives. Teresa Lisieux, for example, very quiet, hidden life. Wrote one little book, you know, A Story of a Soul, whatever. The best example, of course, of Blessed Mother. I mean, her life was, you know, from the outside, very simple and ordinary. She had one son. And didn't really do much in terms of what the world would say is holiness. But, of course, we know she is of the great holiness. So holiness is not necessarily doing great things, but it's doing the Lord's will. I would say we're doing the Lord's will with great love. That's holiness.
There's a great quote by St. Francis de Sales that I picked up in a holy card at a Carmelite monastery, and I actually keep it in my prayer book, and it says, doing little things with a strong desire to please God makes them really great, and that's St. Francis de Sales. What a wonderful little nugget of wisdom.
Perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, because if you say, well, how can I even live a holy day today? You know, and I would say you can live the greatest of holiness today and every day, right, by doing those simple things with great love and with great desire to please the Lord, as you said, and to do his will. And that really is the key to sanctity. I'm doing God's will, not mine. And I do it with a desire to please the Lord, to love the Lord. And love really is what infuses everything. Real, true charity infuses everything with grace.
And we can learn a lot from our blessed Lord Jesus, who spent 30 of his 33 years on earth living an ordinary life. I'm sure he learned a lot from St. Joseph, not only about his trade, but also about how to be a real man of virtue, in the human sense, because, of course, he was God, Monsignor.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. There's been a resurgence of interest in St. Joseph, which is wonderful. Beginning with that holy year for St. Joseph in 2021. And I think people are rediscovering the sanctity and the spiritual punch, if you will, of St. Joseph. And one of the titles in his litany is called Terror of Demons, that St. Joseph has this great efficacy of casting out demons. And yet his life, very simple, very quiet. We actually have no real quotes from him to speak of, and lived a hidden life, but of great sanctity and of great spiritual punch, if you will.
Monsignor Rossetti, how is it in the ordinary that the extraordinary truly exists?
Yeah. Well, again, where does true sanctity, where does true grace come from? It doesn't come from us. It's when we make ourselves these conduits of God's grace. I mean, Mary was completely obedient to God's will. She was a complete open vessel for the Lord's grace, and eventually, of course, the Lord himself becomes her son. So that's the key. The key is to let God work through us without obstructions, and which is not that easy, of course, because there's so much, you know, imperfection in us, and sadly, sin. So one of the reasons why we go to confession, why we pray to be cleansed and purified so that the grace of God can move through us freely.
Monsignor, what can we do here during ordinary time to sanctify our life, sanctify our work? Do you have any holy habits that you might recommend for our listeners that we can make the most of this so-called ordinary time?
Yes, and I do have a few, that very simple, nothing radically new. But when you rethink these things, you realize how powerful they are. The morning offering, beginning, Lord, I offer this day to you and everything that I am. Great, that's so much the saints did that. And then, so we offer everything to the Lord.
Monsignor, there's not a day that I don't start before 4 a.m. Without the morning offering in front of the crucifix in our bedroom. Even though it's pitch dark, I know the Lord is there. But that's the way I try to start every single morning, doing the morning offering to set the tone for the day.
Yeah, no, it's incredibly important because we believe the Lord will work through us and use us. You know, and then another thing is to say, you know, that little line hidden in the middle of the Our Father, Thy will be done. That is so key. And I would say the big heresy of today, whose will are we doing? Are we doing our will or are we doing God's will? You know, and I think that's a real challenge that people say, well, I did it my way, you know. But no, we want to know what the Lord would have us do, and that we trust that the Lord's will for us is what's best for the world and what's best for us.
What about the importance of just spending, even if it's just a few minutes, in just silent prayer, giving thanks for all the many blessings that we have? And if you can, obviously, the greatest prayer that we can do is to actually make it to Mass on a regular basis.
Yeah. No, that's great. Of course, daily Mass is I'm doing a funeral tomorrow of a gentleman who, wonderful man, a very successful attorney, and a well-known, but you know, since his earliest days, he went to daily Mass. And it was a rock in his life, you know, before he went to that law firm, did all those, you know, important legal things he did, he started the day with the Holy Liturgy, and I have no doubt in my mind that it really directed and infused his life with God's blessing and grace.
Well, Monsignor, I started going to daily Mass back in the 90s when I was a sports reporter, sports anchor. I would go to Mass and then come to the newsroom. And I tell you, I felt the power and the grace of receiving our Lord every day. And that was part of my reconversion to the faith. And it's become a habit, and it's been part of my life ever since. I think of it almost like I would less miss breakfast than miss daily Mass.
Well, the saints oftentimes, like I love St. Gemma Galgani, a famous Italian saint, but she was just sort of thirst and hunger for the Eucharist. And their insights about that are helpful to us. They felt like they were starving to death until they received the Lord in the Eucharist, you know. So this intense desire to receive the Lord in the Eucharist, it shows us how powerful it is in our lives.
And also another a suggestion that I've heard and I think really makes a lot of sense is to spend some time in spiritual reading, preferably reading through Scripture. If we can spend just even if we spend 3 minutes just reading a few lines from the Gospels, the Lord can feed us spiritually, especially if you can't make it to Mass.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we should read some good. And, of course, I think listening to Relevant Radio is good because you're doing the same sort of thing. You're ingesting, taking in, you know, holy things. And so it's a good way of feeding our souls. But I would add one more thing before we finish is that I do this little mantra regularly and daily. And it works for me. I don't know if it'll work for our listeners. But I say, you know, I choose to believe, I choose to trust, and I choose to love you. So I begin that prayer that way with the Lord, that even though I may not feel it at the moment, but I choose to believe in you, I choose to trust, and I choose to love you.
That's a beautiful prayer, and that's something that we can connect the dots with this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary here in the month of June, Monsignor.
Oh, yeah, it's a great time, even if it is ordinary time. And so every time is a time of God and time of grace, so we should rejoice in this ordinary time.
Also, we have the benefit of being able to unite ourselves in prayer here on Relevant Radio every night with the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, so we continue to honor Our Lady in that way as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I say the rosary every day. As a matter of fact, I carry a rosary in my pocket. It's always in my hand.
I thought I had lost my rosary this morning, Monsignor. I spent 5 minutes looking for it. I finally found it. Praise be God. Thank you, as always, for being with us. I really appreciate it.
It's always a joy. God bless you and all there, Relevant Radio and all your listeners.
Thanks so much, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today called The Accident, by Rob Chaffert. A few years ago, a tragic accident happened on the back roads of our region. A Christian man, a humble servant of the Lord, sweet husband to his devoted wife, and a terrific dad to a couple of dynamic tweens, was hit head-on by a drunk driver. He died on impact. The drunk survived the ordeal and was facing heavy criminal charges. Public opinion was that this guy should rot in prison. No mercy for such an offense. The mourning family, however, was not a normal, everyday, typically common kind of family. They were close to one another through an invincible bond called divine love. They got together and pondered out loud, what would Jesus do in our circumstances? One thing they knew for certain was their master would not linger in self-pity and unforgiveness. They were convinced they had to reach out somehow to the guilty drunk driver. Early one morning, the son and daughter of the victimized dad went down to the prison to visit the man. To the utter amazement of the guards, although both son and daughter were deep in grief, they hugged the man and forgave him for his actions. The surprised criminal couldn't stop his emotions from overcoming him. He crumbled to his knees and started to cry. Instead of a fist in his face, which is what he expected and knew he deserved, he received mercy. He received love instead of utter contempt. He received divine grace instead of condemnation. Surprisingly, both the son and daughter visited that prisoner regularly. They had truly forgiven the one that had killed their dad. Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. What a powerful story, Corner. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina will get us ready for the upcoming Solemnity of Corpus Christi. Plus, Professor Harry Kramer will be with us once again to discuss the need to listen to one another and truly understand different perspectives instead of just only looking at our own point of view. So stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour as we continue on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.